Today, we're talking with Tiffany Dodson. Tiffany is a respected author, speaker, well-established executive and owner in the franchise space. She knows what it takes to achieve success in a franchise. She's done it with Liberty Tax Services and helped many others achieve similar success in their franchises. I am your host, Zachary Alexander, subscription service designer at subscriptionmaker.net. Please hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcast so that you won't miss any new episodes. We are talking with Tiffany because today's subscription service could be tomorrow's successful franchise opportunity. Franchises are about building a system for success and teaching others how to use it to achieve the same level of success. You could make yourself a lot of money if you could make the same case for your subscription service. Tiffany, welcome to the Subscription Maker Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Zachary. I'm excited to be here.
So what does the term franchise mean to you?
I have a wonderful mentor who's been in franchising since the 80s. And he describes franchising as a system or a strategy for business to keep its customers. And what I would add to that is a franchise has a system that a business can follow in order to replicate a success. Now, that system, depending upon the size of the franchise and the experience of the franchise, it may be a carved path or it may be an eight-lane highway. But nevertheless, it's a replicatable pathway that leads to client satisfaction and leads them to coming back to choose you more often than others.
So, could you give us a couple of things to think about when we're considering a franchise?
Absolutely. When we're looking at a franchise, often folks will look for businesses that they enjoy. And certainly in anything that you do, you want to have joy. I would say that it's important to also make sure that the model itself is a match to what you're seeking. What I mean there's an old story or example. It's almost turned into a parable, if you will, where a person loves golf. They love to play golf, and they're in a position where they get to play a lot of golf with sales clients. At the end of the day, they become a franchisee in a system where it's a golf business, where they own golfing equipment, but they're working all the time, and they're never playing golf, even though they have a lot of golf equipment. So the moral of the story is make sure that the model that you're buying matches your lifestyle and matches your interest levels as well, not just the hobby. As a franchisor, we always talk about the word system. And in the book, The Purple Goldfish, we use that as an acronym to talk about what franchisors should do to improve their profitability, not only for themselves, but to improve it for their franchisees. And when we talk about that system, it starts with selection. And that fits into finding franchisees that are a match to their model. And finding the right selection is the first S. Once the franchisee enters the system, it's important that they yield. As I discussed earlier, a franchise has that road or pathway. That's why you're buying it. If you don't want to follow that road or pathway, want to create your own, then don't do a franchise. Make your own business. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's part of being in a franchise, is yielding to that pathway. The startup is the next S in our system, and that's very key. It's getting a great footing and getting a great start within that system. And in order to do that comes training. Training starts you on the right foot, and continued training and learning keeps you growing on the right pace. The E in system is engagement and culture. And that's where I talk about the right fit and the right model. But it's also about the franchisee being engaged with their fellow franchisees. There's much that I've learned over the years from my fellow franchisees, in addition to the franchisor. So very important to be engaged in our system. And then the final letter, M, in system is for manage. That not only incorporates managing the advertising and managing the business, but there are certain key performance indicators of every business. And you want to make sure that you're on top of those key performance indicators so that you're driving profit to your bottom line.
That really gives us a lot to think about as subscription makers and someone who has a subscription service, to think about how to turn your subscription service into something that you that's repeatable, that gives people a pathway, a roadmap to being successful. But I want to change gears and switch it up a little bit. What kind of people make the best franchisees? I mean, personality-wise.
We're a unique sort, Zachary. What I would say is it's a unique blend, because on the one hand, we're entrepreneurs, and so we're risk takers, and we're self-starters, we're go-getters. The most successful franchisees, if there's a problem or a hurdle, they'll find a way around it. But at the same time, there's that piece of yield, and there's that yielding to the system and trusting and following what the franchisor has laid out. Again, otherwise, it's best to create your own model or system. So it's a very unique blend of self-start, but also the ability to say, okay, I'm going to trust and follow at the same time. And so there's a little bit of throttle versus follow that happens. Someone who is too aggressive and too much take charge and I'm going to do this my way would not enjoy a franchise. At the same token, someone who's too very much, I'm going to wait to be told what to do, would not be successful in a franchise, because there's still a certain amount of, I have to do this for myself. So it's a unique blend.
Tiffany, in the early 2000s, you had a bit of a pivot that led you to franchise ownership. Would you tell us a little bit about that process?
Absolutely. In the early 2000s, my husband and I had witnessed people that we love and very close friends, family and friends, who lost their career opportunities because of layoffs. No fault of their own, but they had gone through layoffs, from my mother to my father-in-law to, again, very close friends and family. We decided that we did not want to put our financial livelihoods in trust with others. We, at that point, were raising a young family. In 2001, my first daughter was born. My second daughter followed shortly after in 2003. We wanted more financial security for them. My husband was working at Arthur Andersen, and I was working at the Miller Brewing Company in marketing and brand management. Arthur Andersen went through a horrible experience after 85 years of being what was called the white glove test and audit. Some folks down in Texas cooked the books for Enron and WorldCom, and the company ceased to exist. My husband, of course, was in Milwaukee and not even in audit. He was in tax. And there he was. He lost his job and was laid off. And we had a baby. At that point, she was 6 months old. And at that point, we decided it was time to enact our plan. We wanted to own our own business. And for us, as I've described, Zachary, franchise is not for everyone. But for us, it was the right mix. We wanted to own our own business and have more control over our financial outcome and providing for our children and family. At the same time, we'd never owned a business, and no one in our family had owned a business. We wanted a roadmap, as well as a business family, i.e. other franchisees, to be with and to help learn and grow and develop. So that, for us, was the right mix. My husband's background in accounting certainly led him. We explored different models, but that led him to explore the tax industry and the tax business. And we chose Liberty Tax Service, which back then, it was 2003, our first tax season starting in January of 2004 with a baby and a little infant carrier. That was our first foray into business. And certainly part of the interest came from his background in accounting and taxes.
Now you've got a new franchise, correct?
That is correct. Yeah.
The Salt Suite.
Yes.
So what was the pivot process like for that?
We have, throughout from 2004 on, we have developed a passion, both of us, my husband Ryan and I, for franchising. It has made a significant impact in our lives, in our family's life. And certainly we've developed very close friendships with other franchisees. We have dabbled in other, we're certainly still part of Liberty Tax, but we've dabbled in other franchise concepts. And we've held various roles in different franchises, from being in myself in corporate marketing in an international franchise, including doing corporate marketing for Liberty Tax. My husband has held roles with Liberty Tax, most recently Chief Strategy Officer for Liberty Corporate. And so playing various roles, kind of akin to playing different instruments in an orchestra, if you will, although I say that laughing, my husband and children are very musical. I am not. I appreciate music, but you would not want me to sing or play an instrument for you. But akin to playing various instruments in an orchestra, we felt like it was time to put it all together and conduct. We played so many different roles that it was time to put it all together and take that passion for growth and passion for helping others achieve their dreams in franchising. And we had an opportunity. We learned about salt therapy through our oldest daughter. She had had an experience to learn more about what it can do. I started, frankly, thinking it was a little bit hocus pocus. And after experiencing it and then researching it, with a lot of research coming out of Europe where it started, I found out it has actual teeth and scientific proof. From there, we had an opportunity to buy an emerging franchise, 6 units based in Florida, with 4 units in Florida and 2 in New Jersey. So we purchased the franchise from the founders, and now we're in the process of growing that franchise. So it's really about taking that skill set that we've been honing for many years, because of course we parlayed what we did prior to 2004 into that franchise experience of accounting and operations and marketing, to what we've experienced in growing franchise businesses, to now developing the Salt Suites. We're excited for our new journey, not only for ourselves and our franchisees, but excited for what Salt Therapy can bring to the rest of the U.S. as we develop this market.
Now, did it help to be a certified franchise executive?
Absolutely. Recently, and my husband became a CFE officially last night, I suppose. The International Franchise Association's convention is occurring right now. It was very helpful. Having been in franchising for a long time, certainly we've learned many lessons, but both of us very much value knowledge and learning. There's always something to be learned. So the CFE process is quite thorough in teaching you additional pieces about being a franchisor and a franchisee for that matter. In addition, we believe in the value of connecting with others. It definitely allowed to meet more people in the industry for which we have a passion and that they too have a passion to grow. So it definitely has helped. The IFA, the International Franchise Association, has been wonderful. Folks are very giving of their knowledge and very giving of their time. So we've learned a lot from others in the process. So I definitely recommend for those in franchising to check the program out and consider taking some of the courses and becoming a CFE.
Okay, Tiffany, for the record, what is a purple goldfish?
Purple goldfish is the brainchild of my co-author, Stan Phelps. Stan originally wrote the first goldfish book, so I jokingly call him OG, the original goldfish. He wrote the original goldfish, which is Purple Goldfish. It's about the customer and that the customer is royalty. Purple comes from Mardi Gras, in which we're in Mardi Gras, so very timely. 3 colors of Mardi Gras, right? We've got gold, green, and purple, with purple being royalty. And really and truly, the customer is royalty. We have to make sure that we take great care of our customers, our clients. Otherwise, we don't have a business to serve anyone. The goldfish comes from a story back in Kempton Hotel. Stan was staying at a Kempton, and they let him borrow a goldfish. The goldfish was his friend while he stayed away from home. Now, they fed him and so forth, but the goldfish came with a little name and a backstory, and that was his companion while he was away and traveling. It was a really nice touch that made his business trip more special, and certainly it had a lot of talk value. A lot of people have heard about Stan's goldfish. And so it came to mean lanya, which is also a New Orleans term. And Mark Twain even said that it's worth miles of travel to have a little lanya, but something extra given to you just because of appreciation. So when you put the two together, you deal with giving customers something extra out of appreciation and treating them like royalty. And as a franchisor, I have 2 customers. Not only do we have the end client who experiences Salt Therapy, but of course, we also have our franchisees, and we want to make sure that we take care of both.
What was the writing process like for you, and do you think you'll do it again?
I was very fortunate. Stan, my co-author, Stan Phelps, has written several books, and before we wrote Purple Goldfish Franchise Edition, I believe that was Stan's 9th. So Stan had 8 other books under his belt. Stan, much like, and I joked, I said, Stan, I don't know if you know this, but you have a franchise. He had owned a process. He had carved a roadway and had developed an operational process of how to write a book. We followed Stan's process. And being a good franchisee, I followed and trusted and persevered when roadblocks came, and it made it, frankly, very easy. One key thing that Stan taught me is once you decide to write a book, you set a deadline and you tell everyone that deadline and you never miss it. So the heat is on once you decide to write that book. Would I ever do it again? I'm actually in the process now. In 2 months, I will have a mini book. Intentionally, it's a shorter book. And guess who I contacted for a roadmap? Stan Phelps. He's written many books. This mini book is going to be about salt therapy. So many in the United States are unaware of salt therapy and its benefit, as I was a few years ago. And so many, like myself, think that it's a bit of hocus pocus. So this is sharing research from Europe and the US about how salt therapy works and how it can benefit people with skin, breathing conditions, as well as immune boosting and performance. So that will be a mini book, about 32 pages, coming out in 2 months on our website.
Would you tell us a little bit about your speaking journey?
That is actually also connected to the Purple Goldfish Franchise Edition. When I met Stan through Liberty Tax Service, Stan speaks at Liberty and gives various trainings, a lot of it dealing with consumers. He has various goldfish lines, technology, and other pieces. He was speaking a lot about our customer base and improving our customer service. I've absolutely loved Stan's approach. He's always on the positive and how we can improve and give me examples of other businesses who do great work with whatever the topic may be, in this case, serving customers. I approached Stan about writing a book together, and Stan kind of laughed and he said, well, what would it be about? And I said, well, it would not be about cooking because I'm not a great cook. There are limited things, but one of the things that I'm good at would be marketing and franchising. So let's write it about that. And we did. The speaking came about from the book, which I very much enjoyed. I'm passionate, obviously, about franchising because it's changed my life. And I enjoy sharing what I've learned to help others. The speaking journey started, as I said, with that book and that content to improve my speaking. I enjoy speaking. To improve my public speaking, I took classes from Alan Hoffler. He is a public speaking coach out of Raleigh, North Carolina. Stan, of course, gave me tips as well, since he's a professional speaker. I joined the National Speaking Association. They have wonderful, they speak more about the business end of it, but they're wonderful tips and networking there. I joined Toastmasters, which gives you a lot of practice every week in speaking. And practice is the main key. So for me, it was about finding something where I have a passion, a message that I want to share. Practice, practice, practice.
What advice would you give franchisees about public speaking?
One, pick a subject where you have knowledge and passion. Two, there's wonderful researchers, whether you look at a professional to help you in organizing and delivering the speech, whether you use internet resources, whether you use books, utilize some professional tools to improve how you deliver and what you deliver. Practice, 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 whether it's the mirror, whether it's friends and family, and then look for opportunities to deliver your message and enjoy the process of sharing that knowledge and speaking with others.
Let's shift gears a little bit. Tiffany, you started your franchise career with one store. And you've been an area development manager where you've been responsible for many stores. What kind of challenges have you found with working with large organizations or large franchise groups?
One of the things that franchisees, franchisors want to mind as they grow is keeping in touch with the consumer, with the client. As you grow, there's obviously, it's interesting, in one facet, there's more complexity because there are more units, there's more technology and other resources involved to communicate, there are more people involved. In other ways, it can become simpler because now you have more people doing similar things, so there's learning and sharing. But in the end, there tends to be more distance in technology and the number of computers and the number of people between the person who owns the franchise or the franchisor and the end client. Good franchisees, unfortunately, can become detached to the client so that when the market shifts, as we recently saw a massive shift in 2020, it's harder for them to pivot. Great franchisees are able to run the business, not be in the business, but run the business while still keeping in touch with the client so that they have a pulse and a beat of what their client needs, perhaps even when the client doesn't fully know what they need, they anticipate, and they understand where the market and the competition is headed. So even when you don't have something as dramatic as COVID, you're still anticipating and looking at market changes because the market is always changing and evolving. When you do have something major that forces a pivot, you're more in tune and more capable of making that pivot. So great franchisees never lose sight of those they serve.
Okay. On the flip side, what's it like working with a small organization like the Salt Suite?
Our challenge is there's so many wonderful things that we could be doing, and there's so few of us to do it. We're a small organization. We're very passionate about serving our end client. We're very close to our customer. And it's about prioritizing. It can become overwhelming because they're very worthy projects to build the business and to offer better services to the client. So it becomes a matter of prioritizing where we spend our time and setting up patterns, right, and plans strategically of, okay, this comes first, then this comes, and so forth. Otherwise, you could find yourself in a bit of a whirlwind, spinning around, doing a lot of activity, but not really accomplishing things. So it's really a matter of focus because there's just so much that you could tackle in so few hours in the day.
How do you get people to make small changes to get the ball rolling?
Early in my days with Liberty Tax, I've had wonderful mentors that have helped me along the way. One of the things that they helped me realize for myself, as well as when I'm coaching others, it's all about the why. I believe Simon Sinek even wrote a book about why. It comes down to your why. Now, when I'm working with a franchisee, the first why that they say is very surface level. And it's for any of us. And I could even ask you, Zachary, why did you get in business? And I bet your first very surface level answer is going to be about money. We all get into business to earn money. That's fine. I have two children. They like to eat. Strange habit, right? So that's fine. I want to be able to buy food and provide a shelter for them. But everyone has a second or third level beneath that. And frankly, the money starts to mean something different. As I shared earlier in our discussion, part of my why was about financial security. I was looking at people that I love and people that I'm very close to who work very hard for their companies, and through no fault of their own, they were losing their financial security because of market conditions or mistakes made in other parts of the company that forced layoffs. And I didn't want to encounter that. I grew up with a mother who divorced when I was very young and worked very hard, two and three jobs sometimes, to provide for me. I wanted more financial stability for my two children. I wanted to be able to provide and give them opportunity. For me, that was and is my driving force. Now, as a franchisor, it's about providing and helping others seek their why, but their whys may be different. I've worked with a franchisee in the past, and her husband worked on a merchant marine ship. And this was when there was a lot of news about the Somali Coast pirates. Not only was it dangerous, but in addition, he was gone 6 months sometimes at a time, and they had younger children. She wanted her husband safe. She wanted him home. So yes, she wanted money. But what she wanted to do with that was be able to have her husband home working in their small business safe and with their family, which she accomplished. So again, it's about the why. And it's not just, I want to earn money. We all want to earn money. There's nothing wrong with that. What do you want to do with the money? How would it change your life daily? So when it comes to making small changes, when it comes to making big changes, it's all about what is your why? And how would this change? And to, I think to your point of this question, making small incremental changes adds up, right? The compound effect.
I find so many people get the inertia builds up. You know, they're thinking about, well, what happens? Clayton Christensen wrote a book that talked about the fact that doing nothing was your biggest competitor. That no matter what you have and what you can offer, you always got to basically deal with the fact that the customer has the option of simply doing nothing.
Correct. And again, even when we're working with our clients, for example, the Salt Suite, it's about your why. One of the conditions that we help, for example, is asthma. And so everyone with asthma wants to breathe better. I do not have asthma, but I can imagine if I did, I would want to breathe better. But it comes down to, why do you want to breathe better? And that may be because you want to run and chase your children. They're younger and you want to be able to play with them. It may be, in some cases, we've had clients say, because I want to walk from my car to the door of my home, a store or wherever, without feeling like I need oxygen. The why is different. So to your point, it's not just about breathing better. It's about that why, and how bad do you want the why, and how can we create something that's doable for you to achieve your why?
Now, do you use the same tools when you're working with a large organization like Liberty Tax Services versus when you're working with the Salt Suite?
The basics are the same, right? So it's kind of, a lot of times people will use a sport as an analogy, maybe baseball. We want to hit, we want to catch, we want to get runs on base. KPIs, key performance indicators, may vary in a business, right? In Liberty Tax, we're talking about how many returns do we do and so forth. In the Salt Suite, we're talking about how many members do we have, how many sessions, salt therapy sessions do we do. So the KPIs vary a little bit, but at the end of the day, the basics, customer service and some of these other things, are very much the same. What can change can be perhaps with the individual or the group that we're working with. Some folks have more experience in business than others, and we all have different talents and different challenges. I could be with someone who's extremely experienced, but perhaps they're not experienced in human resources. Or I could be with someone who previously was a human resource executive, but they're not experienced in accounting. So it really comes down to, what group am I working with? What are we trying to achieve? And what are the opportunities? What are the components that we need to learn? And if I'm not the person, perhaps if that's my weakness, who can I go tap to help improve that skill set so that we all grow?
Would you consider the Salt Suite a subscription service or membership company?
Oh, it is. Absolutely. We are a membership-based service. Absolutely. We do offer packages and we do sell single sessions. But if you're looking, even for example, we have members who would tell you they're perfectly healthy. They're 20-something. They're perfectly healthy. They're working out. They're eating well. They still come once a week because they want to improve their immune system. And salt therapy helps you do that. They want to avoid some of these viruses and bugs and colds that are going around. And they want to increase that playing field long term as they age. In that case, if they're coming once a week, we have a membership subscription package, so to speak, that helps them do that. And so certainly salt therapy works best when you subscribe and you take it regularly.
So what's it like going from a tax organization to a subscription business?
There's a lot that transfers. They're both personal services. And even in the tax business, although the way that we collect revenue is at the time of service, we still want reoccurring revenue, meaning we want you to come back every year. It's just in the tax business, hopefully you only need us once a year. Hopefully. Now we have some business clients who do need services more regularly, but individuals typically file once per year, and we hope you don't hear anything from the IRS. But we still want you to return the next year and the year after and build that relationship with you. The personal services part is similar in the sense that we're dealing with sensitive information. you know, we're either dealing with a client's financial history and even personal things that happen in their life that influence that financial situation, layoffs, illness, divorce, or in the salt suite, people will typically tell us about health things like they have asthma or whatever it might be. And so it's certainly about developing a relationship with that client and being warm, professional, and knowledgeable so they know that they can trust us, that we're there to help. We have the knowledge to help. We care to help. And building a relationship with them and keeping their information confidential and safe as we work with them on their journey and creating their experience. So there's certainly a lot of parallels to it. And from a subscription standpoint, business clients in the tax business often will pay a monthly fee if they hire for bookkeeping. So if they have a bookkeeping service, they typically pay a monthly fee that incorporates some bookkeeping and tax advice along the way. And then, of course, once a year, you go into the tax filing process.
As we start to wrap up, Tiffany, is there a question that you wish more people would ask you?
Yes, there is a question that very few folks ask. I think they perceive that I might be offended or it might be rude. It's actually very fair. It's about franchising in general. It kind of comes like this. It's in one of two ways, but it's basically the same thing. It's either, are you really an entrepreneur if you're a franchisee, or is the franchisor your boss? People get very wigged out and you kind of go, well, it's fine. It's a fair question. The answer is yes, you're very much an entrepreneur if you're a franchisee. And no, the franchisor is not your boss. It's not your mommy or your daddy by any chance. They are a thinking partner with you. When you're a franchisee, all of your investment is at risk, just as any investment. And it's your opportunity to work hard and grow it. Simply hanging any franchise sign on a roof is not going to make you money. It's that elbow grease that you put behind it. It is very much your business. You've chosen to follow a model and join in with others, which I found very rewarding, and I've enjoyed that camaraderie and continue to do so. But it's very much your business. It's a small business, although some of them turn into larger enterprises, and that's a great opportunity. And you are your own boss. You have agreed to a set of branding guidelines and efforts. But at the same time, you are your own boss. You simply have a strategic business partner that is very vested and very interested in your growth and your development. So yes, you are truly your own business owner.
Next, do you want your daughters to follow in your entrepreneurial footsteps?
My daughters are 17, a senior in high school, and 19, a freshman at my alma mater, UNC Chapel Hill. Currently, their interests lie elsewhere, unfortunately. My oldest daughter has a passion. She's worked with the Best Buddies group and other groups, and she has a passion for speaking for those who normally do not have an opportunity to speak for themselves. She wants to eventually become a senator for the United States. So her path right now is she's an undergraduate. She wants to pursue a law degree. She's already working and saving for law school and wants to pursue that path. My youngest daughter has dyslexia and she also has ADD. She is taking currently as a senior 6 college classes and she'll be entering most likely NC State University next fall studying science. And I think part of her interest in brain activity and science comes from her own challenges. And she currently wants to do something in that field with the brain, with science, the body, and certainly go into research or medicine in that area. So currently, their paths do not seem to include entrepreneurship. However, of course, I would be very proud of them if they did, and I would absolutely support that in any way that I could. At the end of the day, what I wish for them is that whatever they choose, whether it's their own business or whether it's working in a business, I want them to find joy, as I have found in franchising, and I want them to contribute to their community and society as I believe my husband and I have done through franchising and will continue to do. That's my wish for them.
So how did you teach them respect for entrepreneurship?
Well, it starts with a baby car seat being carried into our first business and walking in. It is amazing what business conversations around the family dinner table and what they will pick up. I would tell you it's more virtual osmosis, right? There is no such thing as osmosis, don't we wish? But it's just them soaking up like a sponge, being in that culture and appreciating what mom and dad worked for. Fast forward, I'll give you an example. The pandemic started. My oldest daughter, our youngest daughter at that point was still 16. And she overheard my husband and I talking about needing to get some cleaning supplies to a business in Florida. And we were talking about where we were looking and where we were trying to find certain products so that we could ship it in. And on her way home from taking the ACT, she stopped into a small business, bought some cleaning products. A woman in line holding a child on her hip made fun of her because she had two or three bottles of cleaner. And the woman said, and wanted to take a photograph of her saying she was being irrational. At 16, she turned around and said, ma'am, these are for small businesses and small businesses are the backbone of America. So I think you should think twice before you make fun of a 16-year-old buying for a small business. Turned back around, the woman in front of her applauded. So there's something about a passion when you live it and breathe it. They certainly, both daughters, I'm proud of their work ethic. They've each worked in the business in different ways at different ages. From being in pre-elementary, they would sit and put stamps on postcards that we would mail to clients. And one day I remember saying something, a client was asking me about the kids because everybody's, you know, met them in the businesses. And I recounted the story of watching Christmas specials and then putting postcards, you know, stamps on them. They go, oh, I always wondered why the stamps were crooked. I'm like, yeah, because they were four. So that's why the stamps were crooked. But it's just growing up and soaking it in and soaking in those conversations and appreciating how hard you have to work to build something. And now with the Salt Suite, they've seen us achieve success with Liberty. And now to some extent, they're watching us start over again with the Salt Suite and making investments in that business to build for the future. And now they're helping with that as well as Able.
Do you have any new offerings that you can talk to us about?
Really, the newest offering right now, I'm spending most of my time at the Salt Suite. It's really about salt therapy. It's working on that business. We're redoing our website. We're frankly getting ready to invest behind franchise development, which is the act of looking for more franchisees. We have a wonderful partner, Aluma Agency, that's helping us with that. We've identified a wonderful partner to help us identify site selections, CBRE Realty. We have a partner, SFB Building, that's helping us build salt suites. We've got one in construction in Seminole. We have one opening in Ocean, New Jersey in about a week. So it's really about working on tools for our customers to teach them more about salt therapy and invite them in, which is frankly not just about building our franchisees' business. Yes, I want them to be successful and make money for their why, but also salt therapy is a wonderful natural resource that complements medicine, modern medicine. And I want to offer that to more Americans. In addition, it's about finding more people who want to own their own business and who would be a wonderful fit for our model and that we could grow together at the Salt Suite. So there's nothing new or nothing hidden. It's all about growing the Salt Suite. My little mini book coming out in about 2 months on salt therapy. And that's where I'm pouring my passion and my interest at this time.
So what's the best way to follow you on social media?
LinkedIn. I'm Tiffany Willard Dodson on LinkedIn, and I'll be increasing information about the Salt Suite and franchising in general on LinkedIn. And we have, of course, on Facebook, we have the Salt Suite. Yeah, it frankly is a very small Facebook page right now. Our individual stores certainly have much more robust membership, but we'll be increasing information about salt therapy and salt therapy franchising there as well. Our website, thesaltsuite.com, will be launching in about 2 months. And so we'll have additional information about salt therapy and franchising there as well.
Tiffany, thank you so much for joining us on the Subscription Maker podcast.
Thank you very much for having me, Zachary. It's been a pleasure.
This is your host, Zachary Alexander, Subscription Service Designer at SubscriptionMaker.net. Please join us next time as we talk about what it takes to be a successful subscription maker.